Hoop ballers. Let's talk about your balls. Yep, your balls and the area around them. Let's talk about manscaped.com. Go there and use promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20. Use the promo code and go check out all the tools they have of trimming the hedges and taking care of your lawn, like a lawnmower 3.0 with a built-in LED light to help you get into those dark thigh crevices on the inner parts. Also, the gooch. It is hard to get to the gooch if you can't see it. So use the LED light with the anti-tugless technology on the razor. Full long battery life. Then check out the weed whacker. Bring that out of the shed. Use it on your shrubs. Cut down what you need down to bare minimum if you need to. It's got a nice anti-tugless technology just like the lawnmower 3.0. It's also got a lithium battery. And best news of all, these things are waterproof. So that way you can do it in the shower and take care of business in the cleanest way possible. HoopBall20 is the promo code that's going to get you free shipping as well as 20% off. I recommend using it. I recommend getting the complete care kit with your free shipping and your 20% off. Spend a little extra, get a lot more. There's a good care kit there for us gentlemen, face scrub, shampoo, ball treatment, and the area that surrounds our balls. I believe there's even a pair of underwear in there for our balls. So yeah, that's going to conclude the talk about our balls. Now let's talk about bets. MyBookie.ag is where all the hoop ballers take care of their winnings and where we place all of our wagers that we post in our article in the Wager Pass, as well as our free plays and our Discord chats. Yes, MyBookie.ag. Use promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL. Let them know that we sent you. Hell, specifically type in my name. I want them to know. But most importantly, you got to let them know what podcast that is. And it is Today in Sports Betting. You let them know that we sent you. And then we, as a family, get to grow. And then we get to set you up to reap more benefits. And that is what's important to us because we are here to help you win money. And that is why we recommend MyBookie. Their slogan is bet, win, get paid. And it's quite simply that easy. Use Bitcoin to get going. It's a high recommendation of VM Center at Vince Miracle, our guy. It's a recommendation of me. It's so easy. Dan Bespris, the podfather, Aaron Brewski, the godfather, they get in there, they get going with Bitcoin, they get their money in and out, and it's easy peasy. HoopBall's the promo code. Use that. Let them know that we sent you. MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Now, as a podcast, we have your balls and your bets covered. And without further ado, we have Today in Sports Betting.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode and another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington, or at DALE007 on Twitter. If you're not following me there by now or new listeners, A, welcome in. B, go follow me there, please. Please, please, please. Follow the show at HoopBall Gaming, as well as the rest of the crew. Going to have a couple exciting young lads join the show today, kind of like the first of a triumvirate episode that we're going to get going. I'll leave those members of the HoopBall team up for mystery right now as I finish the intro. We're going to unpack a big slate of stuff. But first, do not forget to go to hoop-ball.com. Make sure to use our promo codes, which you'll hear me drop in a pre-recorded segment, so I will not spend too much time on those, other than saying the Lawnmower 4.0 is marvelous. I love it. I really just want to get into the show. But, hey, loyalty program, on a serious business note, is going to be effective for, well, we're about to hit the first of the month, so I think we are rolling it to the 18th, I believe is what it is. And it's essentially you locking in your forever price for whatever products that you like of ours. You can just go ahead and take what you want, package it together, and save a boatload of money before the 18th. So keep that in mind. Keep it on your radar. Newer listeners, you know, of course I'd love it if you jump right into the premium stuff, but make sure you check our free stuff out. Make sure it's going to be a good fit. So I say do your research on whoever you get your content from. I'm like a anti-villain, anti-salesman, like, kind of thing, entity. So, yes. Okay. All right. So today / tonight, we're going to have a lot to talk about. So I'm just going to go ahead and bring my guys in because I needed backup. I mean, we're going to talk everything from Olympic sports to Gold Cup to NBA draft. I'm going to talk some baseball, of course. I mean, we got a lot to talk about. So without further ado, first and foremost, follow both of these gentlemen at Adam K-E-R-C-K for my buddy, my main man, Adam. And Adam, I realize I've never had to say your name out loud. So Kerkhart?
Yeah, that's pretty close. It's Kerkhart.
Kerkhart. Okay. All right. Cool. Being a guy from Oklahoma, I think I did okay with the Canadian.
No, you did much better than most.
Okay. Good. Because my drawl can get in the way sometimes and it gets embarrassing. And then, of course, Jonathan, who has been on a few shows here recently and handed out a plus 900 NBA draft winner on earlier today's rendition of Today in Sports Betting. This show is being recorded for the Friday episode. It's a happy Friday. Follow him at Martinez. Essentially, I say swap out the AR for the 4-2 M42 TINEZ at that on Twitter. And of course the Litty Lad podcast that he also much so puts a bunch of effort into as well. I saw that you had some really good picks from that podcast also, bud.
Yeah. Rowdy
Piper.
Man, he went yard today. It was at plus 450. So yeah. I try to balance it out, both on the top plays for hoop ball and then over on my show as well. Try to give different plays on both ends. So now it's starting to balance out. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun ride.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Yeah, I've got all sorts of stuff here in my hands, and I'll just kind of recap. Like, you know, I like to do old school index card hand notes, and I do them for the shows and whatnot. So, you know, this was essentially Jonathan and I's card today as we discuss the MLB slate. Just a quick recap on my end, and then Adam, we're going to get you and Jonathan swirling some ideas in my brain, and we're going to talk some, whatever y'all want first, but probably baseball, right? I mean, lots of trades. So my props, I had under 4.5 Ks for that Wells kid pitching for Baltimore. I didn't think he was going to stay out there that long. Teoscar Hernandez over 1.5 total bases. He took care of that in the first inning with a double. Had Chad Cole under 5.5 Ks. He settled in at 5. And I know Power Sports in the Discord chat had over, and I didn't want to say anything. and then Jonathan, of course, you and I on the Freddie Peralta 6.5, 7 numbers, respectively. So Freddie Peralta, I mean, great, great efficient game tonight. But I think what we did is fell victim to modern day pitcher management for today's baseball. Team totals I was on, I went overs on everything. Boston, Toronto, Cincinnati, Colorado, Colorado pending, but not looking superb. Boston, they did a little number two down their leg and into their socks. So first 5 miniature parlay, Milwaukee, Detroit paid off for me. USA won in the Gold Cup semifinals, so I cashed on that. And now I'm waiting for Mexico to finish the second part of a little mini plus 204 parlay. So busy day for me, and that's not even the wager pass stuff or y'all's genius. And I want to talk about that genius right now. So, Adam, I know you and I banter a lot around college football season, and I'm excited to handicap this season with you on the team, as well as some of the other guys. So before getting into too much college football territory, I mean, it's coming soon. We're going to have to start doing some stuff. But you kind of popped up on my radar when you joined the team with some baseball plays and just like abstract NBA stuff. And, you know, we had some really, really good talks about the NBA draft off air. So your personal plays you mentioned to Jonathan and I was curious to see how those went, and then just kind of how you got to this diverse point of being a sports bettor.
Yeah. So first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I'm super excited for college football season, like you said. But for tonight, I didn't have too much in baseball. I had one personal play on the Giants money line. They did win 5-0. I just felt like it was good value with the pitching matchup. I got the Giants at plus 105, just with Johnny Cueto and David Price starting for the Dodgers. I just felt like that was a pretty good price to pay. Some good value with the Giants there. And then for the draft, I had a bunch of little personal plays in the draft. Like the one I mentioned to you guys, I had Suggs over 4.5.
And he went fifth. Just
he did, yeah. So I got that at plus 330. So that I just felt I'm from Toronto myself, and I just kind of had this feeling that the Raptors weren't necessarily totally locked in on Suggs. And I felt like it was going to be either one of like Barnes, Kuminga, or if they reached for someone else. So that paid off. And I also had two plays I locked in yesterday. I had Franz Wagner come under 9.5, and he went, I think, 8th to the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was a good value pick too, just because I felt like he could have gone to a multiple different teams. And then I also had the Turkish player Schengen. I had his under, but that didn't cash. So that's what I had for the draft tonight. And then the one we talked about too in our chat.
Right, right. And Jonathan, you know, sounds like you two actually were on a common ground with the you know, Toronto pick. And that's kind of funny, you know, to kind of bridge the gap of my point here is, you know, the genius and, you know, kind of the different looks the teams give. And we, you know, we as a team, y'all did the work, but, you know, whatever. cashed like 2 different picks essentially within the draft on this Toronto pick and had 2 different superb angles. So, you know, Jonathan, maybe remind the listeners kind of how you felt about that Toronto pick too.
So, yeah, similar to Adam, I was just reading up on stuff on Twitter and listening to a few insiders that were saying how the Raptors didn't seem sold on Jalen Suggs at 4, even though a lot of people had him slotted on mock drafts going to Toronto. And there's this little hype going around with Scottie Barnes creeping up to 4, and then just, you know, just watching college basketball and also just being a real big fan of like the NBA and trying to like see who these guys are coming up in the ranks and stuff. It just seemed like Scottie Barnes was like a guy that would fit Toronto's system, and somebody that they wouldn't rush right away, but through their you know, player development system, it succeeded for them. So I figured why not go with Scottie Barnes at four. And when I got it was at +900 for the exact four. And I was pretty sold on 1, 2, and 3 going Cunningham, Green, and Mobley. And yeah, I just had a hunch about Scottie Barnes going four. So I played it. Wish I would have played more money on it, but it hit at +900. And then I also, on my show, to kind of give out some more picks as well on there, I had dug up a number on Zaire Williams going in the top 10. It was at +300. So ended up playing that over on DraftKings as well today. But yeah, it was a crazy night. Once I saw Shams tweeted out, I was like, yeah, I had a feeling Scottie Barnes was going to Toronto. So I was interested to see, since you said, Adam, since you said you're from Toronto, how do you feel about the pick with Barnes going four?
At first, I wasn't too thrilled about it. I was kind of hoping we would either go with Suggs or maybe even Kuminga. But the more that I think about it, I think Barnes might have been the right pick. I feel like his ceiling is higher than Suggs. And he's much more versatile, like with his length, and kind of suits today's NBA, how it's like positionless basketball. So he's kind of more of like a point forward that can bring you ball handling, passing, and his defensibility, I think, is outstanding. So the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of, I'm coming around to the pick. And like you said, like with the team's history developing players, I think if anyone can help him develop, and especially like his outside shot, I think it's going to be us. So with the Raptors, sorry. So yeah, I'm not too upset about it as I was before. So I'm excited to see how it goes. And like, I just feel like Suggs, he's great now. He's probably he might plug in quicker than a Barnes will, but I feel like his ceiling might be a little more capped than what Barnes can do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for Orlando, it's a perfect landing spot for Suggs. I think they needed a guard with his toughness and just his, like you said, he could step in right away, make that quick transition versus Barnes, where it's going to take him like a year or two, but you'll see the potential, you know, on defense or a pass or just being able to, you know, get a rebound and just bring it up court. And I think it was a perfect landing spot for him with Toronto, especially with guys that they developed with, you know, Siakam, Van Fleet, and OG Anunoby. And then last season, the big guy that was big with their development was kind of Chris Boucher having a breakout year. So, yeah, it kind of worked out. And I wish I would have played Suggs at five because it was at plus money. If you shopped around, I think it was up to like +400. So, yeah, I think and then some of these other picks are kind of head scratchers. I don't know if you guys, what you guys think about the draft so far or what stood out to you guys, but I was interested to see what your take was on some of these lottery picks and just any team that stood out in general to you guys.
So for me, I'll just kind of interject and talk about the amount of picks that Houston had. I don't think they really cashed in on a lot of them. Sure, they got Jalen Green with the first one. I think that they were just kind of grabbing a handful of wet spaghetti and was trying to fling it at the wall to see what would stick as far as talent. Oklahoma City, I felt, took a lot of the same approach. A lot of international draft picks, again, for Oklahoma City. I mean, Sam Presti, he's just always drafting, you know, players of international delight, and I think it speaks volumes of his consistency. throughout this draft process with the adversity they were facing. And then they were also being talked about shopping SGA and stuff. And I think they did a great job. I liked really, I liked what they did with Trey Mann, given another scorer next to SGA, maybe run a good little two-man game out of the corner. Frickin' Charlotte killed it. I love me some Book Knight. If any of y'all that are listening, or if Adam, you recall, or Jonathan, maybe you do, but you know, I was huge on Book Knight and UConn this year for, you know, from start to finish. I think they might've been the first basketball play I made for this last college season. Was really looking forward to UConn. So seeing him go to Charlotte with Ball, and then them get wrapping back around, trading up and getting a big, you know, I think Charlotte did a really good job too.
Yeah, I really like their draft, and they just picked up JT Thor from Auburn.
Yeah,
in the second round. So that's, yeah, I mean, Charlotte, I mean, they were kind of like, Jordan was like a laughing stock at one point because they had so many head-scratching draft picks, and then, you know, they make the signing for Gordon Hayward, and people are kind of questioning that. LaMelo fell into their laps last year. And then now this draft, I mean, Book Knight, him and LaMelo, man, that's a pretty nasty tandem. If they decide to keep LaMelo off the bench, I mean, you got him and Book Knight.
Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier. I mean, they just – Miles Bridges.
Graham.
He had a big –
I was going to say, I mean, it's going to be cheap to keep Graham. I was looking at his free agency stuff. They might as well just do it. And Graham, he's not going to get paid that much more on the free agency market. So he's in a good position now, and I think this draft is an encouraging one, and I don't think it actually hurts Graham all too much. I think it actually just helps this young talent flourish a little faster.
Now, they're in a prime position, and mm-hmm. I mean, I was even looking up before today's draft what their positioning is as far as futures bets to make the playoffs, and they're at plus money. I mean, they almost made it with this play-in scenario. So I think they're in a good position to make the playoffs next year. I mean, they were right there. If Hayward wouldn't have gotten injured, or, you know, a few other injuries that they had, even Bridges being out for COVID protocol, I mean, who knows how many more games they could have possibly won, and they were right there. So I agree. I really like their draft.
And Borrego's did good as a coach last year, in my opinion, for his first year. Really kind of got a sense of his guys, and they built a culture pretty quickly, in my opinion. Adam, you have any more draft takes? You want to touch on any other NBA generalities? Should we talk Russell Westbrook? You know, I don't want to leave you short on the NBA side.
Well, just to comment on the draft, I think one of the teams that stands out to me that I was really interested into seeing how it played out for them is the Golden State Warriors. I think the fact that they ended up with Kuminga at 7 and then Moses Moody, I really like that pick at 14. I think that's a very good result for them. I wasn't too sure what they were going to do. There was a lot of rumors about them trading up. And I think if they want to be in that win now mode next year, if they still feel like they can compete, then they need someone who can plug in and play next year. And I think Moses Moody will give them that as a 3-and-D type player. And then to still come away with Kuminga as well, who has so much potential, I think they did very well. And then also, like we were talking about Jalen Suggs. I think the Magic did well too, how Suggs fell to them at 5 and then they got Wagner as well at 8. Those are two players who kind of are different from what they already have on that roster. Like, they've kind of been picking very similar style players. Like, if they ended up with Scotty Barnes, he's very similar to like a Jonathan Isaac and like Mo Bamba type of player who's very raw with a high ceiling. So I think someone like Suggs and Wagner gives them something that they don't already have. So I think that they did well as well tonight.
Yeah. The amount of talent that was towards the later picks, you know, I just it was such, it reminded me of how deep of a draft it truly was, actually. But there's a lot of teams with a lot of picks, is what I noticed as well. There are a lot of kind of not meaningless trades, but kind of just mediocre trades, in my opinion, as well. I'm excited. And these prospects, honestly, you know, I'm putting the feelers out there, but it's kind of making me want to join a dynasty league this year and feel around and do that for the first time this year. So, you know,
yeah.
But if we're good on the NBA draft, you know, obviously Lakers getting Westbrook, sending a boatload of players to Washington, which I think Washington did the right thing. They stood by Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, look, I think you're going to see good things for Washington for doing that. So the players they got in return, I think, is very, very valuable. Montrezl Harrell will bring a physicality to them that they haven't had in a few years. So that'll be instant, you know, offensive rebounding uptick, just overall defensive prowess. And he's not going to kill you at the free throw line either. You know, they've had their fair share of issues as a team from the free throw line. So really looking forward to seeing how all the draft stuff shapes out for the NBA franchises.
Yeah, I think that at least on the Lakers end, I agree with Washington kind of obviously building around Beal. There was a report that he didn't want to leave. So I think now they could legitimately put the pieces in place that will fit around him. I don't think him and Russ were going to go anywhere. And obviously they're kind of like in a rebuild per se. I think Kuzma and Rui Hachimura is going to be interesting battle for that power forward position. I think Kuzma definitely got humbled last season. Having kind of a down year, and it'll be interesting to see how the Wizards play him. I'm not crazy about Montrezl Harrell. I think that Daniel Gafford should be the backup for Thomas Bryant when he gets back, because I think Thomas Bryant's a really good big. He hasn't been able to fully show his capability on a full like season basis, but he's a really good player, and they have him locked down for a few years. It was unfortunate he tore his ACL. But the Lakers on their end, I think it's a head scratcher, because I think that with the reports out there about them possibly getting Buddy Hield from Sacramento, I think that would have been a better fit. You know, they needed more spacing and shooting.
Right.
And Buddy can, you know, Buddy Buckets, that he has that name for a reason. And I think he would have been a really nice pickup for them. And I think Russ is just, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's in his own head, like, thinks that he's still that MVP guy. Hopefully he'll dial it back a little bit. But I could see them, you know, him and LeBron kind of bumping heads here and there during the regular season. Anthony Davis kind of, you know, getting bothered by Russ. So I don't know how that's going to work out. A lot of people are obviously blowing it up and thinking that it, you know, the Lakers are going to, you know, make this run or something, but they also got to realize like Russ is getting old, just like LeBron. And I thought that they missed out on an opportunity to get a Buddy Hield or even some more shooting guys that don't necessarily have to dominate the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out going into next year.
Yeah, I really like, you know, like I said, I like what Washington did on this side, but I also understand a little bit of what Los Angeles was trying to do. Maybe they're targeting more scores or such in, you know, free agency. Maybe there's some guys they got other eyes on or something. But overall, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out, in my opinion. And, you know, just want to circle back. Jared Butler out of, you know, Baylor guard, he actually just went in the second round. The New Orleans Pelicans got him, and two picks later, they're back on the clock. So interesting there. Detroit just took Isaiah Livers. And then Sharif Cooper from Auburn is still on the board. And then I want to throw out there that this Bassey kid from Western Kentucky, center, 6'11", he's a banger. And fourth ranked center in the draft. I really like him because he's a small school guy. And I think we could see him going in the next bevy of picks. So like few picks or so. So transitioning from hoops to diamonds, there's still a ton going on with the NBA. Second round's obviously going on right now. We're going to uncap all of that. Shout out to our HoopBall team. At Mr. Sorochi, Alan Sorochi for us. Huge, huge component to the fantasy side of things. Covers the Hawks for us at HoopBall Hawks. We had a bevy of all the HoopBall guests and hosts and all that good stuff come through on the live YouTube chat for the first two rounds. I mean, they're still going at it. I think it's probably hour 9 now for them because they started an hour or so before the draft started. So tomorrow when you're listening to this and you're curious, go to YouTube, find that video, check it out, because they start breaking down fantasy nuggets, you know, for dynasty leagues and just kind of instant fantasy implications of all the trades and all the draft picks. Side note, before baseball, we need, you know, and this is going to be delayed for y'all, but currently we are rooting for some USA volleyball. They're currently losing 2-1 to Brazil. They were the underdogs, but they were also Troy's free play over on Twitter. So we are rooting for USA to come back and to win these next few sets, or enough for them to win. I'm not exactly a maestro of volleyball regulations and rules. So I know you need 25 points in a set. And you got to get a lot of sets to win. So let's go USA. And then I've also got USA women's first half -9.5 against Japan for the basketball arena. So finish off with that, a little Olympic sprinkle. And then now we'll get into baseball because there's a lot to unpack, a lot of trades that we can dabble around, a lot of speculations and things that will happen tomorrow before the deadline. And then the creeping trades that sprinkle in towards, after the deadline. We got some more Joey Votto numbers to talk about, Jonathan, because he's got a matchup against Carlos Carrasco that he loves, and the guy's on a complete burner. But first, I want to start with the Cubs and the Washington Nationals. This is a game, obviously, with a lot of trade pieces. So by us talking about this one, we should probably approach it with caution. But it's worth highlighting because there's a lot going around in it, in my opinion. So the Cubs already got Rizzo out the door. Chris Bryant's probably gone tomorrow. I don't think Trey Turner and Max Scherzer is a part of the Washington organization. And then also, I was just talking to Adam off air a little bit ago about the Nationals losing their best and then probably one of the best relief arms on the market currently. Tomorrow also, I mean, the Padres are closing in on him right now. Trevor Williams has really good numbers against the likes of the remaining lost toys on this Nationals lineup. You know, not a lot of ISO numbers he's given up to guys, not a lot of RBI numbers. Still, I mean, it's pretty limited plate appearances and at-bats, but he does have some really good success against guys like Juan Soto and the Joshes, Bell and Harrison. So with the remaining parts being in this Washington lineup, I'm looking at maybe taking the Cubs in the first five just because, well, I mean, it's funny because Lester's also going up against the Cubs. I like the power that the Cubs can put out there against lefties. And even though Chris Bryant's going to be traded, the fact of the matter is the Cubs still got some talented bats. The total's 9 right now. -115 is getting some shade. I'm seeing the Cubs at -130 in some spots. Look, Washington's already got a bad bullpen, and they're trading away their best guys. So I wouldn't be scared to back the Cubs in the first five and the full game, even though there's some weird stuff swirling.
Yeah, I'm looking a little more into, individual matchups. And we've kind of seen some of these games where there's been a few trades made and guys being held out of the lineup because there's speculation that they're going to get moved. And even though obviously both teams are capable of giving up a lot of runs, especially the way they are now and all the pieces that they've let go, I kind of want to play the under here, just because there's just a lack of full legit at bats and history on both ends. If Lester gets the start here, and then on, like you said, on Trevor Williams, if you look at the previous at bats with Harrison, with Bell, he's been really successful against Soto, which I find crazy. Even though that can change tomorrow based off of how well Juan Soto has been on lately. But yeah, it might just ultimately be a stay away for me just because there's so many moving pieces on both teams and not sure where these guys' heads are at right now with all these goodbyes that they have going on both sides.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Without getting long-winded on that game, I still think I really like to – I'm going to hold on to that Cubs first five just because of Trevor Williams and his success. But like you said, Juan Soto, man, he can change it super quick, and he can rewrite a script in a quick fashion. Just kind of sticking with some of the early start games, 605, 610s, you know, there's some interesting stuff going on real quickly. And if y'all have an opinion on the games that I say that I'm not interested in, by all means, stop me. Tell me if you've got something that you've seen that's a nugget that you like. But as of right now, I'm not looking really for Miami and New York to have anything that I'm interested in. Tyon's been a bit of a weird pitcher to handicap. And then I've noticed that I'm just terrible with the Marlins and handicapping them. If something sticks out to me tomorrow when lineups and stuff start settling, and then, of course, if my guys Adam and Jonathan dig something up that perks my ears, I'm going to be following them. So as of right now, I don't need to talk about that game. Do y'all have any objections on that one?
Not for me, no.
Okay, okay.
No, that game, I mean, the Yankees probably end up either getting somebody else, but the way they looked yesterday or today, they need Gallo and Rizzo in that lineup pretty soon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Miami, we talked a little bit about yesterday on the show how they're getting 40% of their offense from two guys in the middle of the lineup. So, yeah, I have nothing really to give out in that one.
Sure, sure. And then those two guys, you know, they one of them could be gone too, you know. So, exactly. Very good thing to point out there. Let's talk, you know, Adam, I know you were pretty high on this Giants game. You said the Giants stuck out to you. But I'm going to start this off by saying that we're going to be on opposite sides. I really like Houston, as y'all know. But this is hopefully – well, with the mega deal the Dodgers are about to make, I would love to see this be a World Series matchup because I think it would offer some amazing parity for the Major League Baseball. But give me your thoughts, Adam, on this San Fran game. They're at home. They're minus 121 on the money line. And this line actually opened with Houston at minus 125. Now it's even money for Houston, over under 7.5, getting minus 112 to minus 115 shade.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a good spot to get the Giants, who are one of, if not the best team in baseball, with their best pitcher on the mound. And it's not too expensive of a price to pay. Although I do see your point. I could see the other side. I don't know, like, do you guys think minus 120 is right for the Giants here? Or do you think they should be more favored? Does the line seem a little suspicious to you? Or what do you think?
You know, Jonathan, do you have anything to say on it?
For that Houston San Fran matchup?
Yeah.
I mean, The Astros, for me personally, whenever I'm on them and I'm liking on them, they don't come through for me. And I usually tend to go with the Giants when they're the underdog, because for whatever reason, they continue to be disrespected on the market. And the number is not too bad to lay with them. Based on the pitching matchup, I could definitely see an under with Valdez and Gausman. But I'll leave it up to you guys. If there's something that stands out from your betting perspectives or numbers you guys throw out there, I might chime in after that.
Sure. Yeah. So I'll just kind of speak for the numbers and kind of what they are saying to me a little bit. So I'm finding Bovada still has -105 for Houston, but I'm finding spots that have them at even money. I'm finding spots that has San Francisco as -115. Bovada does. Other spots, they're all the way up to -120, creeping to -125. Even shade on the total, that kind of says something. You know, the odds makers are very undecided on how they think this thing's going to go. And I think that's because the 11 mile per hour wind out could be giving them, you know, some thoughts of the over. So that's a thing to keep an eye on. Even though we got some very capable pitchers here, we have some of the best offensive hitters on both sides of the ball, right? You know, hitting, or both teams, I'm sorry. +1.5 on the run line for Houston is -210. Obviously, we're not looking to play that, but I think it plays into what the other side of the run line says. And then I like to use the run line correlation towards the money line and just checking the skewity or the perception from one to the other and how the odds makers actually decide to get there. -1.5 for San Fran as the favorite, +175. So when I notice like a really crazy high run line and then the other side, you know, in this case, Houston on their money line, those money lines being really close, it's kind of hard for me personally, from what I've seen recently, to not, well, and then I already like Houston just in general this year, but Gausman is a tough, tough pitcher. And Framber Valdez being a lefty, I think, you know, him against Buster Posey is going to be a great matchup. Ruff, Jonathan, as you know, Ruff hits really good against lefties. We referenced him earlier. Thairo Estrada, you know, he gets a downgrade in his average against lefties, but, you know, he's still at a 300 mark. So, Yaz is under the Mendoza line. He's got to get better about that. So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a perennial matchup tomorrow. Going to be my favorite game of the slate, I think. 8:45 start time. Adam, did you have I was just curious before we move off of that game, I was wanting to see what was it about the Giants that really stuck out to you on that? Was there a certain bat? Was it them being at home?
Yeah, it was mostly just them being at home and how they've been playing lately and just the pitching matchup. I'm really a fan of Gausman this year, and I just felt like with the line, it wasn't too expensive of a price to pay to get one of the better teams in baseball with their ace on the mound. That was pretty much my thinking there.
Perfect. Yeah, I didn't want to leave anything short there. If there's still something in the rib, I wanted to make sure to nibble at it. So, all righty. I'll be real brief on this. Philly, Pittsburgh. Look, Will Crow, the infamous first inning pitcher, is on the mound. So I might be looking at a yes run in the first inning on this game because, you know, Bryce Harper, Goslin's been hot lately. They got, you know, real Muto in that lineup. Some real boppers, Rhys Hoskins. Will Crow gives up a lot of home runs, specifically in the first inning. But look, Philly's only -136 on the money line for the full game. Velasquez ain't that great either with his 5.54 ERA. But if one team's more offensively capable, it's obviously Philly. And they'll be looking to get over 500. Their total for this game is at 9. And 8.5 is where it started. It's over 9 now. And I'm seeing it getting some heavy shade of -120 in some spots. And so I might look to shrink this down tomorrow and look and taking that we'll say YRFI, and taking the Phillies in the first five. And then I might even look. I mean, I think this is crazy value at only minus 130-ish, 135, depending on where it settles in the morning. But, yeah, I still really like the over for the fact of the matter that I think the Phillies could have six runs by the end of the fourth inning. Any opinions from either one of you on this one?
No, I agree with you. I think with this game, I would definitely lean towards the over. Just with the two pitchers on the mound, especially Crow. And if you look at the last couple games for each team, they've been very high scoring. I don't really trust the bullpen for the Phillies, so I think I would lean over as well.
Yeah, yeah. I always like to bash the Phillies bullpen, so thanks for bringing that up, Adam.
Yeah, whenever we can.
Yes, I mean, you got to recognize the constants. Jonathan, did you have a look on this? You know, another thing that I forgot to mention, Pittsburgh's lost a lot of arms through the trade stuff going on. I can't recall specifically who they've lost so far, but I mean, maybe more hitters than arms. But I mean, there's definitely been shakeups is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm convinced that now that you speak about that game, that I might parlay Rhys Hoskins to go yard. So a home run prop parlayed with the run line because even today against the Brewers and Peralta only pitching five innings or six innings, whatever it was, on 60 pitches, they had no type of offense at all. And even if Vince Velasquez is taking the mound tomorrow, still have the Phillies, and you know they can bop some home runs. They have a lot of power from top to bottom in that lineup, and Pittsburgh has really nothing to play for. Like you said, you know, Philadelphia is still trying to make a push into the playoffs. They're at 500 right now, so I could just see them just putting their foot on the gas and not letting up. So Rhys Hoskins home run, and then parlay with the run line. Probably get some big number with those two together.
I like that a lot. And I'm actually writing it down right now because from what Jonathan and I learned from our recap, we didn't play every single thing that we talked about on the show, and we probably should have because we had a killer ass day. So yeah, I've got a hand note with a nice little crooked star that I tried to draw. So there we go. We're good to go there. I'm going to be quick about this one just because, you know, we don't need deep dives on all the games. Would love to, but with three of us, it can be a little challenging. I would rather just listen to y'all talk, but I feel like I am rambling. But over 8.5, getting some decent shade. It started at minus 115. It's up to minus 120 in the Boston and Tampa Bay game. Really, really love me some Tampa Bay tomorrow. I'm looking at their team total when it comes out. I think them being at home, taking on the big bad division leading Boston Red Sox, and you know, Tampa Bay just went out and got some guys. Guess who they just went and got? They got Nelson Cruz. Guess what he likes to hit? Left-handed pitchers. Guess who's a left-handed pitcher? Martin Perez. Guess what Nelson Cruz likes to do against Martin Perez? Well, in 30 at-bats, he's got 9 hits, a double, 3 home runs, 8 runs, 5 RBIs, 6 walks, 6 strikeouts, a .300 average, a .432 OBP, .633 slugging, a 1.066 OPS, a .450 WOBA, and a .333 ISO. Half of the devil. Nelson Cruz tomorrow will definitely be in some DFS lineups for me.
Yeah, and he sounds like a potential home run prop option.
Yeah. It's
coming from the King Dinger himself. I was trying to get King Dinger or Dinger King. I'm not sure. It just, they both have rings and it's fitting either way. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to figure out some type of nickname. I've noticed, especially now since I've been on with you guys for HoopBall, a lot more analysts and different guys from different, you know, outlets are now playing home run props. And I eventually want to just dig up like when I started playing them this season and kind of like backtracking from day one till now and seeing what the actual full total is, because like some of like, obviously we keep track of what plays we have on the Discord. And then eventually once I got moved up to the top plays section, and I don't know, if lately I've been kind of interested to see how much units do I like from the beginning of the season till now I would have made, you know, keeping track on that. So hopefully we could come up with a cool nickname and kind of like takes a life of its own. Cause I think handicap these games. And, you know, obviously we all have our own way of capping, and everyone brings different angles. And I feel like that's definitely been my niche here, is the homer props.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one more name in the hat and then we'll toss it over to Adam, see if he has anything to say about this baseball game. But King Ding. I like King Ding. King Ding. Or again, Ding King. Like, I don't know. Like, it's so hard.
I think it'll come up one day, but yeah.
It'll just stick. So Baltimore, Detroit, Matt Harvey on the mound. I'm backing the Tigers any which way I can. I'm just going to be brief with this one. Over 9.5 also. Detroit could score 10 more runs, you know, in this spot. So Akil Badu against righties, he's pretty damn good. He might have some total base prop bets placed on him by me. Milwaukee and Atlanta, I was looking at perhaps the under. It's getting some shade of -115 on 8.5. Milwaukee -110, Atlanta -110. So I think it's going to be a really close game. We got Corbin Burns and Tiki Toussaint. We'll see how Tiki Toussaint's second start goes. Or, yes, this is his second start back. So, looking forward to that one also. Any opinions from you, Adam, on any of those games?
I'm with you on the Rays. I think I might have to jump on the Rays with you there and maybe even a look at the over in that game. Just some of the numbers you were bringing up, I feel like the Rays could really get to Perez there. I think that would be a good look. And then also I agree with you with the Tigers. The bats have been hot lately and they're facing the right guy tomorrow. So I think that'll be a good bet too on the Tigers tomorrow.
I'm interested, and I might need to start a little spreadsheet action on this, but I want to start tracking all of our hashtag fade whoever pitcher days, you know, like I want to track like how well we do when we celebrate hashtag fade Fulte day or hashtag fade Hap day or hashtag fade Harvey day. I always like to reference, one of the best villains in comic book culture and Two-Face and Matt Harvey Dent. You know, I always call him Matt Harvey Dent because it's just, I don't know. I like it. And I always like to make fun of him for the whole like moniker that he took on in New York, because look, he's trying, good effort, but you never want to hear your coach say good effort when you're coming off the court or off the field. So nonetheless, we're backing the Tigers. Kansas City and Toronto, I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in this one, but I'm already seeing downward movement on the total. And it's still, you know, it's 10.5. It was 11. But like we talked about, Adam, you brought it to my attention. And I'm so glad that you did, because I actually meant to make a mental – I did make a mental note, but I meant to make a more glaring note and more effective note than a mental note about Toronto being back in Toronto. This is their first game back and they're going to be playing the Royals. So a pretty cool matchup. I was going to be on the over, but you know, now with that narrative in play, I just really don't know.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting dynamic to look at with their first game back in Toronto. Like we said, we talked about before, it might be a bit emotional. So I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic. It might be just something that I stay away from.
Yeah, but I mean, they do have this Lynch kid on the mound. The Royals do. He's a lefty, and look at what Toronto does against lefties. He's got a 7.88 ERA. I mean, just that is. I am just trying not to salivate thinking about DFS lineups, thinking about player props. Shout out Teoscar Hernandez. Jonathan, you got anything on that one, or does that narrative bother you a little bit?
I think the team total for Toronto, even though you guys said it might be an emotional first game back in Toronto, I still believe that we can't fight the numbers this season with the Blue Jays and their production against lefties. And, you know, Daniel Lynch, his ERA is over 10 on the road. So I think a team total, the over on the Blue Jays, whenever that number comes out, is a play, as well as my boy Vlad Jr. going yard potentially. It was crazy because he was hitting a lot more home runs when they were playing in Buffalo. So technically he has more home runs versus on the road. But yeah, I mean, anyone in that lineup can go yard against a lefty pretty much. And I think that with the matchup, the juicy matchup that they have against a lefty, I think the team total might be worth a shot, even in the first game back.
Yeah, facts are facts, numbers are numbers. And, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, I will say, if the betting market continues to drive this number down and it gets under double digits, how the hell am I not going to take that, you know? You know, especially with Lynch's road ERA, I didn't realize it was higher than his 7.88 already.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So yeah,
I want to point. Yeah, I mean it. Gosh, I want to respect the sanctity of returning home and all, but you know, maybe it's emotional in a good way, and you know, for Canada, you know, so like.
Yeah, and like with this young lineup as well, I don't know if they will react as emotionally as maybe like a more veteran lineup that has been in Toronto for years or something like that. So I mean, they might not even like flinch at the fact of being back in Toronto, because they've been to Buffalo, they've been to Florida, and then they've still produced all year. So it might be something to just ignore and like Jonathan said, go with the numbers.
Yeah. So we will definitely be letting y'all know at a later time on how we lock in on that. Okay, so for me, look, I'm just going to nullify these two games. And, of course, once lineups lock in tomorrow, like there's always stuff to scrub. But as far as looking at stuff right now, I was going to go ahead and just kind of lop the Dodgers and the Padres off of my card tomorrow, because of all the deals and the trades that they're going to be swirling around. I mean, it doesn't really affect their current guys, I would say. But to me, it gives too much weirdness to try to handicap that. I mean, so unless y'all have some intense talking points on the Dodgers or Padres, they are the chase games tomorrow. So, I mean, there's a lot of time between now and then. But if you've got something to say on them, guys, go for it. If not, we can transition into something else.
Yeah, those are two stay away games for me. Gotcha. I did have two other games that we haven't really touched on, but yeah, as far as those two games, like you said, there's a big window in between now and then, and potential moves that could be made. So, not too much as far as any picks on those two games.
Perfect. Well, Jonathan, you throw, or I'm sorry, Adam, if you had anything, sorry, I didn't even let you answer. Go ahead, bud.
Okay. No, they're both passes for me. I did take a quick look at the Dodgers, and Diamondbacks game, but I couldn't really find an angle that I was interested in. So I'll probably pass on both of those as well.
Okay. Gotcha. In another game we can be brief on, and then Jonathan, we'll break down that one of those or both those games. We'll let you get into it, but Oakland, I'm just going to be brief. I like Oakland money line. So we don't have to touch like that, those bottom three games, those California groupings there, if unless y'all want to. So, Jonathan, without further ado, go ahead and start breaking down one of your games. Watch, I bet it's probably Oakland and Los Angeles, the one I just short sold.
No, I'm actually going to be surprisingly on this Mariners-Rangers game. And I kind of have an interesting angle on it. I'm going to look to see what Logan Gilbert's K-prop is. I think that if we get it at, say, 5.5, 6.5, play the over on that. In his last start, he only had 5 Ks against Oakland, but the two previous starts before that, he had 9 against the Angels in Los Angeles, and then he had 8 against the Yankees. And obviously, you know, the Rangers, you know, they just made that trade with Gallo, and even though he would probably help that total in this instance, I still feel like Gilbert's kind of shown some you know, potential with striking out people and going against a really bad lineup in the Rangers. If he could get it at 5.5 or 6.5 tomorrow, I think that's a play on the over as well as the run line. We talked about it, about how the Kendall Graveman trade kind of threw off the clubhouse dynamic, and a lot of guys were visibly upset about it. But it's the Rangers. I mean, and it's probably going to be super hot in Arlington. I could see, you know, potentially Haniger hitting a home run or a couple other guys stepping it up. So probably go with, yeah, Logan Gilbert on an over in his K-prop, and then the run line as well.
Awesome. Adam, did you have anything on that game? I know that you, and I'm going to backtrack here. You said you were looking at the Angels game too, off air. Do you want to throw a bone out there to any of those two games between the one Joe talked about and then the Angels?
Yeah, I was, I did take a quick look at the Angels. I'm very interested in their starting pitcher tomorrow. Pablo Sandoval, I believe. I think that's his first name, if I'm wrong. Patrick. Sorry. Yeah. And he was great his last start. I think he pitched like 8 innings and had like 12 or 13 Ks. I'm really interested to see how he does this start, his next start. It looks like he's pitched well at home as well recently. So I was thinking of maybe backing the Angels here at plus money. I'm not locked in on it yet, but it was something I was looking at.
Well, being on opposite sides of the coin can offer different perspectives, but I can't say I'm comfortable with it. You know, I'm surrounded by sharp minds, so I hate whenever I'm on the opposite side of anything that you guys are on. But long story short, I mean, we got a pretty good matchup to watch. For me, I just really love what Marte can bring to this Oakland team. He kind of just completes them in a couple different ways, in my opinion, stuff that they've been missing the last like 2 years and stuff that was glaring, in my opinion. So I just really like where they're at currently.
Yeah. We talked about it on the last show, how that trade kind of helps them out. I really don't have a plan on that one, but yeah.
What was your other one, your second one?
Yeah, so the second game, it's between the Twins and the Cardinals, and obviously Jose Berríos is the listed starter, but I feel like he gets moved tomorrow, so it could potentially be a bullpen game. So the number right now for the over is at 8.5. I would take the over, especially the way St. Louis has been hitting the ball. Tons of guys that are hitting home runs, and as well as Minnesota. I mean, Wade LeBlanc is not a guy that I would be afraid of, but you could definitely see the market adjusting tomorrow if Berríos ends up getting scratched. or traded. So it'll be a bullpen game, I would assume, for Minnesota. And we know how bad their bullpen is. So I think we could see a lot of runs in that game.
Yeah, I like that look there. And I was actually just looking at that game, trying to figure out if I had a play on it, if I wanted to do anything on it. And I was looking at the over. Didn't really trust the Cardinals offense, though. I mean, they're better at home. And facts are facts. That Minnesota bullpen is terrible. And then you making the call on the Berrios likely being traded, you know, I'm going to piggyback that because that was a reason why I thought, you know, they had a good shot of being on my do not play list tomorrow just because of the weird dynamic around that. So I think with that, you know, I don't, as of right now, I don't have any other baseball nugget. I mean, there's a couple different games we could look at. There's stuff that we obviously got to wait on. We unpacked a lot, gentlemen. I'm glad that we were able to get all of us together and get this thing going. Adam, welcome on and officially, you know, more times over, like welcome all the way to the team, bud.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited and I'm happy that we got to get this done as well.
We'll do it more often. And Jonathan, thanks again for making all the extra time you have recently. Again, it's been like a wonderful, helpful piece to have with these extra sharp minds that we keep getting. So I really liked having both of you guys on and helping my perspective for tomorrow.
Yeah. And piggybacking on what you said, welcome, Adam. I mean, this was your first show, so it was good to have all three of us on here. This has been like a couple of days in the making. So I'm glad that we finally got to be on here together.
Yes. Well, with that being said, make sure to follow Adam at Adam, K-E-R-C-K on Twitter. And then Jonathan at M42-T-I-N-E-Z. So make sure to follow them, follow the rest of the guys and the rest of our action on Twitter at Hoopball Gaming. Don't forget the website, hoop-ball.com. So with that being said, I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies. As always, go out there, be safe, be kind, do something nice for someone if you can. Today in Sports Betting is out.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.